Amen. Praise his name. Let's stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're so thankful for every opportunity we receive. Lord, and so thankful for the love you've placed in our hearts. Lord, it's only a gift from you, that gene, that soul, Lord. Father, that allows us to love you and to long to come and to gather. And Lord, it's not the building, Lord, and we love our brothers and sisters, but Lord, keeping your word, you instructed us to gather together. Lord, we can draw strength and understanding from your word. Lord, we great anticipation, Lord, we look forward to tonight for you to speak to us. Bless us now, each and every one that's made the effort to come. Lord, and just look in our hearts. Father, meet our individual needs. We love you. And we just give you all the glory and honor in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Praise his name. I'd like to, in our capstone books there, I'd like to turn with me to page 29. Start there. Take my hand, precious Lord. You want him to guide you and lead you?
When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord.
coming soon, saints. Keep your eye on the goal. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come up for the offering? Amen. That's the blessing, if you will.
Thank you for having put you down for this. Pray you'll take care of this service. Thank you, saints. You'll be for your going on. Pray you'll bless us all for forgiveness. You'll be for
amen. I am determined. I've made up my mind. I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. Oh, I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. Oh, I'll follow wherever He leads. I'll pasture wherever He feedeth. Oh, I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. Amen. Are you really determined, saints? Hallelujah. How many have something on your heart, a request or a need? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Pitts, would you like to take the request?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, knowing that you are the beginner of our faith and the author of it. So as we come to you with the request that people have upon their lives, we truly ask you, if you would, to answer those prayers according to your riches and glory. So as we come to you, Lord, again, we ask you for your healing, your guidance in life, and trust, Lord, that you will guide us into all truth.
Yes, Lord.
For we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise His name. You may be seated. Amen. Will we have a special song or anything? Amen. Praise His name. You got something, Ken? All right, let's all stand then, if you will. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Yes, amen. Praise.
Only believe.
Opportunity to be gathered in around this precious word. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord, we just want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity. And Lord, as we've come tonight with these few humble words that you've laid upon my heart, Lord, to exhort back to our remembrance, Lord, just praying that somehow it will help someone, stir someone, Lord, maybe cause a greater excitement in our heart for what you're doing for us, Lord. And we just ask your blessings upon your word and to our hearts to the hearing. And the Lord, it's not what I can say, but Lord, we just want to rehearse your precious word and let it, for it is spirit and it is life, Lord, and from it we can draw strength. And we're just so thankful for what you're doing for us, Lord, and we just never want to fail to make sure you receive all the glory and the honor that's due unto you. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Well, while you're still standing, if you would, let's turn our Bibles over to the book of Acts. Amen. Just a little thought for this evening. Just pray you'll be able to take something from it. And maybe we'll just pray that God will just continue to show us what we yield to Him, the greater He can do for us. Amen. Kind of bearing in mind as we were talking about humility and seeing how God has always worked in humility and every humbleness, but But here in the chapter 9, the book of Acts, this is speaking about Saul a little bit. Let's start here and just read this. Acts the 9th chapter in the first verse. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that if he found any in the way, whether they were men, women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell on the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Amen. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. And just to kind of remember what a great man Paul was at that time, and truly intelligent and well-trained, and he could truly probably take all of the scriptures, the scrolls that were written at that time, and probably back and forth in them, and can just tell you where things were written down and how it was said, and he'd been trained for that purpose. And but here is he come to this place in his life, and God struck him down and sent him down into Arabia for 3.5 years, and to get all of Saul out of Paul. I believe Brother Branham kind of put it that way one time. And to see him come back out of there with a whole new outlook and a whole new attitude. And how, as we think about that, and we sit here tonight, each one of us, and how true it is that as long as many of us have been in this message, and maybe, and I'm about middle age, so I'm about in the middle, and even I myself intellectually can take the scriptures and take the Brother Branham's quotes and talk to people and explain to them why we feel there was a prophet came. And we can tell them all about this prophet, and we can tell them all about God's great plan. And as we've read it and can read what Brother Branham said, we can take that back in an intellectual learning capacity and pass that back to somebody. But God's just got a special way of doing things. And you know, as he said through Paul, that through the foolish, it pleased God that through the foolishness of preaching, men's souls would be saved. And to think that how God in simplicity put this all together and then gave us each one this little desire within, this placed a portion of himself within us to hunger and to desire to hear that precious word. And as you go back through and you look at all the examples, even with Jesus and the woman at the well, that little representation of predestination that was there to begin with, that the first time the word started to go forth, there's something sparked, and it caught their attention. She didn't know all about it, but something down on the inside said, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. And how it truly is with God's precious word to each one of us, how this has caught our attention and it's drawn our attention to this point. But I want you to think about Paul and even Moses, as we were talking about Moses last service, and I had read this quote, but to remember even Moses in all of his great wisdom that he had learned, in his own abilities, he tried to think he could maybe go a different route to bring those children of Israel out of there, maybe do something different. But then in the desert, when he met that burning bush and God Brother Branham said it took 40 years to get it out of Moses out in that old desert and take it out of him. But when he did, Brother Branham, this was in the God Hiding Himself in Simplicity, preached March 17, 1963. He said, notice he had him trained in worldly wisdom so that he could fail and show that it isn't wisdom that will ever be delivered by. It's by faith that we are delivered. And he let him go and get in such an education until he could teach the Egyptians wisdom. And he was so smart. And God was with that simple family who could perhaps maybe not write their own name. And Moses was took into the highest of schooling with such a great education till he could teach the wisdom of the teachers and he could teach the genius. And yes, God let him get that way so he could display himself in humility to show that wisdom had nothing to do with it. Moses miserably failed in his genius. He let him get that way for his purpose so that he could fail. And he did fail, and he fell. To show, not by power, not by might, and not by the wisdom of Egypt, and not by the wisdom of our schools, and not by the power of our seminaries, but not by the amounts of our organization, and not by the power of our scholarly teaching, But my spirit, saith God, and his wisdom was vanished and at its end. And when he met God in that burning bush, he took off his shoes and humbled himself in humility and forgot all about his wisdom. Yeah. And I think of how long maybe we, some of us, have sat in under this message and learned this message. And as we come to this place in our life, maybe it don't matter how long we've been listening, but may we truly find that place in humility with God that, Lord, I don't want to act like I know nothing. Let me be that person that's forgotten everything and just let me sit as a babe and desire that sincere milk and meat of the word, Lord, and deliver to me. That each time I'm hearing it, Lord, it's like it's brand new and it's fresh. And not that I would take my own memory and my own mind and try to place it back. Well, I remember what so-and-so said. But let God take that precious word fresh into our hearts. And let the Holy Spirit have an opportunity to mold us and to change our attitude or maybe our thought on a certain subject or the way we feel about something over here. But God would have that opportunity to work on a tender and yielded heart to show us exactly how he wants us to be formed. And here, if you want to turn with me to the book, 1 Corinthians, and let's read this as Paul put it, knowing where he was, what he had been, how he came. And as he began to speak to the Corinthian church here, it just, his humility is showing forth, but yet showing forth God's great plan in the way he put it here. And we'll begin here about 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and let's just start here at the 20th verse. Where is the wise, and where is the scribe, and where is this disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish wisdom of this world for what? After that in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews, Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And in the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chose, yea, and things that are not, to bring to naught those things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I want you to think about that when Moses went down to Egypt, who got the glory? When Moses was standing there saying, Aaron, you tell him what God said. You're the mouthpiece that I'm going to tell you what God told me. And you tell Pharaoh and you watch God get the glory during that time and frame. And you look at Paul's life. Everything that was done, Paul never raised himself up. But God always was receiving the glory for what it is. And you even look at our prophet this day. How he made sure that God always got the glory for everything that was done. Never raising himself up to speak to himself. And as Paul put it here, and as we go on in the second chapter in the first verse, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Though he had a great wisdom, he had great speech. I'm sure he had a very excellent speech, being trained in their language and all the fineness of what they had. But he said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And oh, how that's, as our prophet came in this age and picked up and began to tie all these things back together, how it became and how he told us how we should cry out for revelation more than anything in this life. Think about how great it is to be able to read all of those precious words that's been written on those pages. But God had a way to make sure that each one of us got our portion. Yes, we can read and we can understand what that prophet said. But don't forget that God did send that fivefold ministry for the work of the saints, to the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. That is a purpose that God has. He set it in order. Just think about it. That not through what we would glory in, but God has got a way to make sure that we get into such a condition. And his way for us was likened us unto sheep. Just think, Brother Branham put it like this. Just think about this for a moment. It's just a little bitty quote. This was in Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness, paragraph 119. Isn't it strange that God likened us unto sheep? A sheep is the most helpless thing there is, and there's nothing so insufficient of defense than the sheep. A rabbit can run, a squirrel can get in a tree, and a dog can bite, and a lion can tear, and a horse can kick, and a bird can fly. But a sheep stands helpless. And that's the way God wants us to realize that we are totally insufficient. And then God takes that person and begins to mold himself into that person and makes his hands do what God would have his hands to do, makes his lips speak what God's lips would speak, because they're not his, they're God. And he begins to build a character, begins to take this weakness and to make his own self. And he brings us here on the earth for when we're educated, we're smart. Did you ever notice the lineages? And he goes through talking about Abel's and Seth's lineages. And how Cain's children were smart and dropped down here. He says, but God's side was weak and humble, and that's how God used them. And that's God's opportunity. That's God's way of getting to us, is when we're weak, we've got something then. This encourages, of course, causes God's whole kingdom is built on these kind of people. When you get to that kind of a way where you can, his kind of way, then you can. And that's the case with us, that we're not that we're too weak. The case is we're too strong. We're just too strong, that's all. The thing of it is that we're too strong-headed, that's right. We're too strong in our head, and we know too much, and God wants to get that out of us. That's right, we're too strong. We're too strong to yield to him. And we yield to ourselves, and we got to think, well, now here, I got sense enough to know. And God, just think about how God has drawn each one of you along your walk. And look where we've come from, look where we've been, look what we've known. But how is it that all of a sudden we're all sitting here together, each one of us, none of us bigger than the other, we're just come and sitting underneath the presence of the Holy Spirit and letting God just take his precious word. And as they, if you think about Brother Branham talked about how they beat the gold until they could see the impurities in it. The Holy Spirit knows each one of us as we sat here. God gave us a shepherd, but look at how God takes that precious Holy Spirit and brings the word to each one of us as we sit here. And if we'll yield to it, look what it'll take out of us. Look how it'll change our thoughts. Look how much it's molding us. Look what God is doing for us. Yes. Don't you think when Paul went down into Arabia and God began to show him and break him down and show him, can you imagine what that must have been like? Because he was taking the same things Paul had been reading and saying, look, here I am right here. Yes. Look at me in these scriptures. Look at me over here on this page. Look at where I fulfilled. This was fulfilled. And showing the fullness of himself, revealing himself to Paul. And how as we sit here underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God is doing the same thing to us. Yes. Revealing himself, breaking us down, showing us, that's part of you's got to go. This part is what I want you to be like. This is how I want you to mold it. I want you shaped. I want you into this character. God's got a purpose for us gathering in here every time. And look at how it's working. Look at it. Can you look back over? We've been here, what, 15 years? And in that 15 years that we've been here, can you see a growing? Can you see where God has brought you from and see, I used to think a little different, and look what God's done for me. Not turning to, well, I just believe it like my past. No, look at the Holy Spirit, how it's come, and the Word is turning you back to the Word. Not trying to take you to someone's idea. And it's so good to study the Bible and to sit around and to talk about scriptures, but God's got a provided way. When you're sitting underneath the precious anointing of God's Word, and you're sitting there in the stillness, and it's being preached and brought back to you, God is doing a work on everyone that's sitting underneath that anointing listening. You might get this portion, I might get this portion, but God is dealing out what's needed, the vitamins, the minerals that's needed to bring each one of us and can pull us closer to him, that in his own image we would be conformed and be shaped, that our lives would be a reflection to him. And just think of that. You know, even back in Acts, I just find it how God made sure that that was recorded, but in Acts, the 8th chapter, just speaking of Philip and the eunuch, we mentioned it, but just think about that as in 8:27 in Acts, 27th verse, and he says, he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. A smart person, intellectually here, somebody that had some training, just wasn't, but just think of that, was returning, sitting in the chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet, and then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was, he was led like a sheep to a slaughter, and like a lamb to dumb before his shearer, he opened not his mouth, and in humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened up his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, and they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth it hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Look at what the hearing of God's word in the right setting, in the right in tune with the way it was meant to come. Look what it did. Amen. And maybe that eunuch had read that same thing, but God has a purpose and a place for when that word is coming forth. We may go home and study. We might study the message, the token. We might go study the message, Paul a prisoner, and read it. And God will deal with our hearts, and God will draw our attention to things. But God has still got a provided channel that we might come in here and hear the same thing sitting in this building. Maybe it's our pastor. Maybe it's another brother that's came to minister. Watch that word come forth, and you watch God somehow, it just sinks right in. Draw that picture together and to place it there. The Holy Spirit working in your heart, he is the teacher that will teach you and guide you into all truths. But yet he's got a provided plan, and when you get it together, you watch it bring forth the works that God is wanting to happen in our lives, and you watch it bring forth those peaceful fruits of righteousness. Amen. And watch it yield that. And how it ought to stir our hearts to see what God is doing for us. I'm not gathering to church in vain. I don't gather in here because I've got it all. I come in here, but each time, as we read that last service, we come in here because I'm asking God, what more do I need? What more can I take from your precious word, Lord, that would take and shape me? Don't let us get so set in our minds and in our ways that we think, oh, there's nothing more to it. But, oh, look at Paul in all humility. He could have, but I didn't come to you with enticing words of man wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit as God led him to bring what he did here and there all over through those messages. Yes, amen. And look at how great those men were. And not knocking smart people, that's not what I'm trying to say. But look at how God just doesn't need our ability. And Brother Branham, that's what he was trying to stress in that message, Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness. And this was in, this is in that Imperfect Strength by Perfect Weakness, paragraph 52. And Brother Branham was saying, notice, he takes the weakest and the rejected. Practically every hero God ever had on the front line was that type of a person. A person that was rejected, a person that thought was insufficient, and a person that had no ability at all. And then that person's just in good shape so God can start using him. That's right. And think of Samson. God didn't let him have great big, strong big muscles where he looked like something. But he looked like a little... just a little normal Jew at that time. And here God let that hair grow down in his neck, and that's where his strength was, as being a Nazarite unto the Lord. And look at all that God did through him. But if you looked at him, you didn't see, like the pictures today, the storybooks like to make him look like a macho man and these big muscles. No, he had God's strength. And God was proving out that he was the one doing the work. Look at what God's done down through the ages through all of these great men. And oh, it's our turn today, not to show how big we are, but to get into humility and yield ourselves to God in such a way to we're so surrendered to that precious word and so surrendered to the moving of the Holy Spirit that he can take us and use us just like he did Philip. Philip didn't, oh, I better go tell this. No, God said, come away. I got to work for you. And then he said, here's who it is, draw nigh. Look at how the Holy Spirit moved the situation together. It wasn't Philip trying, let me go tell him what I know about the situation. But no, God moved the situation together. And every time we'll let the Holy Spirit move, you watch it bring the results that God wants it to bring. And it'll glorify God. As he says here, he says, it's when they feel like they can't, they haven't got nothing. That's when God can take a hold of them and do something with them. But when we are thinking that we're able to do it, then God can't use us because we're wanting to do it ourselves. And then the other side, we get these feelings and we think that we're insufficient and we don't want to do it. But then if we just listen to the call of God, that's the very thing that God wants us to get into, that kind of shape, so he can. When we're insufficient ourselves, then we are subject to yield to God's Spirit. And as long as we think we can do it, then we can't do it. But when we get to a place where we know we can't do it, and then we yield ourselves to God and he does it, then if it's us trying to do it, we'll fail. But if we'll just yield ourselves to God, and then God can't fail. There's only one thing that God cannot do, and that's fail. He can do anything else but fail, but he can't fail. But as long as we're trying in ourselves, depending on our own abilities and so forth, well, we'll do nothing. But when we get to a place where we know we are nothing, and then God can use us. And the important thing, one of the important things that we must master, now remember this, especially you young preachers and lay members alike, there's one thing that we've got to master if we expect to fulfill God's desire in our life. That is, we have to master the thought of human ability. If we ever get to a spot that we think we can do it with our own intelligence and our own abilities, we got to master that in such a way that we can get rid of that thing and lay it aside so that God can use us. That's right. And make a complete surrender. And we cannot use one ability. We've got to make a complete surrender. And to come to God, you've got to surrender to him. Surrender to him both soul, body, and spirit. Everything that you are has to be surrendered to God in order that he can work his will in you and in me. And that's hard, I know, because we're always wanting to put our part in. Something that we know. We know what we want to do, what we want to say. I just know it should be done this way. But as long as you're doing it that way, it's going to be wrong. And God will never use that effort. But maybe with the help of the Lord, we're going to get into that in a few minutes and show you how God cannot use your ability. Yes. And he did. And as he brought that, and it shows us just how we are nothing. We're so insufficient without him. Yeah. But if we can just yield ourselves to him, look what he can do through our hearts and through our lives. And how I think of it as Jesus likened it unto the pearl of great price, that the kingdom of heaven was likened unto a man that found a great pearl, and he went and sold all that he had and separated out to that. And I wonder if that's truly, we've read that, we talk about it, but has this truly become that pearl, that great to us, that we want to see God have so much control over our lives and over the way we think, what we do, what we say? That we want to be that surrendered vessel, that, Lord, I can't do or move with anything without you. Not just saying it as a word service, but truly seeing it reflected in our lives as, Lord, I'm depending on you. Amen. Every moment of my life, every step I take, Lord, I need you to guide me. I need you, Lord, to show me what to say, where to go, how to say it, and what to do for this person or this situation. Oh, if we could only get to that way. But you know, it's so easy for us to get into our own abilities and I know exactly what needs to be done for this situation. I know exactly what needs to be said over there, and I know exactly how I'd handle that. But oh, if we could just get to that place where, Lord, you lead me to what I need to say. Show me, Lord, how to deal with that situation. And it can go in every situation in your life. There's not one situation that you don't need him to lead and guide you into that place. And that's what Paul found. That's what Moses found. They didn't make a step unless he told them how to get there and where to go. And then look at the results that came behind it. And oh, may that be the desire of our hearts. Is Lord, let us truly break ourselves down. Tear our minds down. That, Lord, we would be so surrendered. That we wouldn't try to just put it all together up here. But, Lord, let you break it down and mold it into our character on the inside. That, Lord, it would bring, shouldn't you, and show forth on the outside. Amen. Let's see here. This was in the message of prisoner, though, but Brother Branham kind of leading over into this a little bit. But he says, before I say, this is paragraph 114, but before I say about Moses, I'd like to make this statement. that God has always and taken any man that will serve him truly to be his prisoner. A man has to surrender every ambition he's got and everything that he is, everything his life, soul, body, will, and ambition, and everything else, and become a complete prisoner to Christ, who is the Word, to serve God. And that is truly something as we think about it. Sometimes are we truly yielding ourselves? Do we truly want that Word to have full sway? Or do I want to reserve, I think I can still hold this opinion, or I can still hold it like this, but it's got to come down to, Paul gave up everything about himself. Moses gave it all up. He wasn't holding on to nothing else. And I'm going with just a stick in my hand down to Egypt. And that's the way we've got to make sure that we're not holding on to anything, totally surrendering ourselves to that precious Word and seeing, truly letting it be the biggest thing in our life. If it truly is the most and the most important and the first in our hearts and our lives, and who is the Word? Jesus Christ. If He's first and foremost, how much more it would mean to us, how much more I would be willing to give up for Him and to do for Him. And it's truly sometimes evident in our lives what we... You can see where our first love's at by sometimes how much we might go out of our way to do something for this or something for that. But what about Him and His precious Word? If I go that extra mile for Him, I already know about that scripture. I already heard that message. Maybe I know what the brother's going to preach on tonight. So I've already heard that. I don't need that Word. No, God's got something for us every time. And every time we ought to come so yielded. Lord, this is the greatest, the most important thing in my life. Is what You're giving me, what I might receive this evening, Lord. It might be the very thing I need. Oh my, He says, you might have to walk contrary in everything and become a complete prisoner to Christ, who is the Word, to serve God. And you might have to walk contrary to your better judgment. Maybe in a certain organization, you might think they could lift you up and give you something great that you might flash. But what do you find yourself? You find yourself defeated after a while until God can get a man that's willing to become a prisoner to Him. And God is looking for prisoners. He's always done it. You might search it through the scripture. A man has to be a prisoner to Christ against anything. Therefore, you cannot be connected with anything but Christ. Even your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, anybody. You're only connected with Christ and Him only. Yes. And then God can use you. Until then, He can't. Amen. And oh, how I pray that that's becoming a greater desire in our hearts is, Lord, let us surrender greater. More, Lord, as we see the day fast approaching, we see the shape the world's getting in. We see everything shaping up out there. But is my life shaping up at the same speed of matching God's precious Word? Do I see it coming forth and I see the changes? I see the overcoming daily. And I see it molding me and changing the way I look at situations. Maybe the way I would speak to someone. Maybe the way I would handle this. I see God's Word is truly having that effect. Or do I go by and I'm like, nope, I'm still the same person I was 10 years ago and I ain't changed a thing. I've already had it all since then and I've still got it now. God knows our hearts, but oh, may we truly be a people that God sees a surrendered and a contrite and broken spirit and humbly asking, Lord, show me what I have need of. Amen. Glory to His name. Let me see, I've laid that back up here. And this is in the message, Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness, paragraph 151. And you sisters can come to the instruments. He says, look at Moses, that young intellectual man. Oh, he was a scholar, and he was so trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. We drop down here. He starts, he's paragraph 151. He says, in Cecil DeMille's conception of it, when he had the Ten Commandments played, and he had this man come on, I forget the man's name that played the part of Moses, he says, but a great big man with great arms and strength, and Moses was perhaps that sort of man. We know he was strong and well-trained, and he took upon himself seeing the need of the day. But oh, may God let this sink home. Seeing the need of the day, Moses, with his intellectual powers and his ability he had to do with, he was a smart man. He was the coming Pharaoh. He had psychology, and he had power. He had physical strength. He had everything. So he said, I'm well-equipped, and I know all of it. And if there's a man in the land that's able to do it, I am. So I'm the man of the hour, so I'll step out. And when he went out to accomplish a work that was right and in the will of God, he offered his natural abilities and God refused it. He couldn't use one thing Moses had. He couldn't use it then and neither can he use it now. God cannot use our natural abilities. We've got to get ourselves and our abilities out of the way and surrender to the will and the power of God. And say, well, brother, I can preach. He can't use you as long as you can preach. that's all right. I can do this. I can do that. You can't do nothing. Then God can't use it. But if you'll yield yourself to God and let Him do it, you say, well, Brother Branham, I know I'm a teacher. Well, as long as you're the teacher, He won't get very far. But the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Sure it is. And God sent the Holy Spirit to be a tutor over the church. Yeah. And some people go to school for years and years. And what do? They read articles out of the upper room and oh, so good. And you take your National Sunday School lesson. I have nothing against that. And the words of God's things. But it's put together with intellectuals. It's got to come by the power and the resurrection of Christ. And you cannot depend on your natural abilities. And you know, as we see, it's wonderful to study the Word of God. And we should. And we read the Bible. But how we've seen them trying to memorize quotes, memorize scriptures, memorize this, memorize that, play it, listen, do this, do that. And then it gets away, and you don't need to go to church anymore. You don't need a pastor. But look what God's doing. God's got a place for it. Come in and watch God do the work. Watch God do the breaking down. Watch the Holy Spirit do the leading and the guiding. And watch your change of how that precious word can melt a heart of stone. It can take a crusty spot and break it off. It can do the work that's needed in your heart and life, but you've got to come God's provided way and yield to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, here am I. Have your way in my life. Yes. And all you watch what will happen. Amen. When Peter, before he had the Holy Ghost, how he was always out front, you know, sword in his hand. He's always trying to do it. Well, after the day of Pentecost, look at how he was. Look how yielded and contrite he was to the Spirit. And oh, how it ought to just strike our hearts. Lord, let us be more yielded, more in tune, that our lives would be moved by that Holy Spirit in everything we do. Oh, that it would bring glory to Him, that no man should glory in his flesh, but all glory would be in the Lord. Yes. Oh, may it be in our lives. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. I pray it didn't sound too jumbled. Just a few simple quotes. I wanted to just felt pressed to read again, to renew our hearts. And it may not be the great teachings. There's great things. But just remember, God's precious word is so inspired. Somewhere, it meant a lot to me. I really enjoyed reading some of these things and going back through and looking at what God's got for us. And just saying, Lord, let me find every nugget. Let me yield myself to you greater, Lord. I've heard these things. Maybe I've read them. Maybe somebody else has read them to me. Somebody else has told me about them. I know when it was preached. I know where he preached it at. But Lord, what am I missing? Don't let me read it like a newspaper. Don't let me think about it as an article that some other book and I've put it together and this is the recipe. No, Lord, break it down to me with reality, Lord, and sink it down on the inside with the reality that I'd be able to stand against the test and the wiles of the devil in his last few days. Oh, he's so precious. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. To me, he is so wonderful, as our pastor comes. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful.
Sign of surrenderance. Amen. Surrendering to Him. Lord, have your way in my life. Amen. It's just so wonderful to think about these precious things that Brother Timothy brought tonight and how we all could benefit from it. You know, to be in a position of humility, greater, greater. greater submission and not be that know-it-all, I know everything. Just yield yourself and say, Lord, I need more of you. I need all I can get. Amen. And as we mentioned many times, when you go in to read the scriptures or read the message books or even listen to Brother Branham preaching, it should be on your heart. Lord, I need you. Is there something here you can reveal to me, make it greater to me? And just have your heart open and just be hungry. Amen. You take on in nature and all the little baby birds we've talked about before, this baby animals in general. And you know what happens when they get hungry? They always have their mouth open. Just ready to eat. And my, I just trust the Holy Spirit will see us just wide open, ready to eat all the time. Knowing the Word of God is inspired. It's so precious. Amen. I count that a true blessing, honestly, to have the Word of God be real to you and to know the Word of God is inspired to you. I count that a great blessing. That when you do sit down and read it, it's so important to you. To me, that's a wonderful blessing. Because to many people, they can read the Word of God. I've got family. They could read that Bible the same as I would. It don't mean anything. No desire to pick it up and read it. No desire to listen to it. No desire to even be at church, you know, to listen to the Word of God coming. But God has blessed us to have a desire to listen to it, to hunger for it. No wonder Jesus himself said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Aren't we blessed? Amen. To know that we hunger for God's Word. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you made it possible even, Lord, that we could be here tonight. And you gave us the desire to be here. You placed within inside of us the hunger, Lord, and the thirst to have it and listen to it and to see it applied in our life, Lord. It's such a blessing, and we appreciate that. So thankful for it, Lord. And Father, as we go to leave this place now, may we take these precious words and let it be really lodged in our hearts and take it with us. And Lord, may we keep you always before us. That Lord, as we walk out of here, we can walk in the Spirit and talk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. Or as your precious word said, as Apostle Paul said, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So Lord, we appreciate that now. Just keep us climbing, Lord. Help us to climb higher. That's our desire. And grow greater in you, Lord, and let you have a greater preeminence. Just go with us now. Keep us safe upon the highway, we ask. And bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. And Lord, we'd be able to come and gather around and worship you and gather around the Word of God and feed on it. We ask in your glory and honor, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God richly bless each and every one of you. Amen. Till we meet again.